All right, and as we are feeling the anointing of the Holy Ghost tonight, we're excited once again to announce that we began to play this message last week from our very own pastor, Pastor Clifford Clark, back in 1984. The title of the message is Chariots of Conviction, but it was preached at the 1984 Pass the Torch Youth Convention. It was an Olympic. The Olympics were held in Los Angeles that year, if I remember correctly, and it was a great event. Many people gathered from all over the nation, even different parts of the world, and there it was. It was a tremendous thing that took place there. And so we're going to be playing part two of that tonight. We want to thank Brother Roseberry and Jacob Roseberry, who actually found this, and they sent it to me, and so we're thankful to them for that. Let's go ahead and begin to play this now. Once again, we're going to hear from our pastor, Pastor Clifford Clark, Chariots of Conviction from 1984. Praise God.
I'm thinking right now of young people that are gathered all through this congregation who have came from some unsaved homes. I'm preaching to young people today who have been kicked out of homes. I'm preaching to some young people that have a lot of strikes against you. I'm preaching to some that are a product of a permissive society. Some of you have had big complexes that you have had to work on and try to get over. Some of you are illegitimate, and the devil has tried to strike that into your mind to make it an obstacle that you would never overcome. But I see today, and as we have gathered here together, there's been others who have confirmed the witness, and that has confirmed the feeling that has been in our heart that we are really a chariot that God has ordained to be in this world, a chariot of conviction that is alive with the Holy Ghost flame that is going to give us a consuming drive and desire that will not soon be put out. Hallelujah. For any of us to make it today, there has got to be conviction. There has got to be a desire. There has got to be something that goes deep if you are going to keep on. What's going to keep you going on when no one else wants to pray? There's got to be a desire, a conviction there. There's got to be something that goes beyond after the last night of youth conference is over. There's got to be something that's a made up mind. And it is only in those type of realms, is only when God is going to come and give us the extra burst of speed and strength that we need when we are facing some of these things. We had a young lady just recently in our local church that prayed through to the Holy Ghost and had many, many problems. She was facing being rejected by her folks. She was facing her husband leaving her. The devil tried to convince her that she was going to have a nervous breakdown, that she was not going to overcome. There were many things that began to mount up upon her. Neighbors turned against her. It was so bad that neighbors, even in her own neighborhood, began to set her home upon fire. They would take garbage and dump it into her front yard. They would make fun of their kids. They would do things to her kids to hurt them. They would abuse them with bad language. But there was something that was in her heart after several years of this, and many times she would be very low and very discouraged. But many times when she would be at the lowest ebb, the Holy Ghost would come and rekindle a flame that was in her heart in service after service. When others in the church said, I don't know how she makes it. I can't do it. I can't go through what she's going through. Let me tell you, she found a source of a connection with heaven that some of the others never did understand and never did find about. And from time to time, that flame would be rekindled. It would burn again. And it would give her the strength and the stamina that she needed. And over again, she would gather together in the house of God and lift her hands and praise Him for all the many things that He has done. And she is a burning testimony today of what God will do with a chariot of conviction. I guess we could think in our minds today of two runners running down a track. And this is the very reason that the author so named and described the runners as chariots of fire. We're talking about the natural comparison, the natural illustration today, two men running. I don't guess there's anything that's quite that is inspiring. I'm not talking about the athletes in the Olympics. I'm talking about the scenes that we saw of our own runners, our young people. Nothing is quite as inspiring as the human body moving along at a pace that is really faster than it was designed for and going further than it was designed for, and for the skill to be displayed and the energy that's there. But let me tell you something. If we could look into the scene behind the curtain of eternity today and look at the angels that are viewing the race that every one of us are involved in today. It may not be a physical display of sheer energy and burst of speed, but some of you are saying no to sin. Some of you are making a decision that prayer is going to be number one. Let me tell you, the angels in heaven today are cheering you on and saying you can do it. You're going to make it. There's some of you, when sin has came at some of the most unexpected times and has caught you at some of the weakest moments, that some of you, instead of giving up or instead of feeling sorry for yourself, the attitude has been, oh God, I'll keep on. I'll live for you. I won't sin. But I need something. I need a second wind. I need something from you. And it's at that time that God has dispatched angels and has said, give them a second wind. Give them a second touch. Give them something more than they ever dreamed would ever be possible. Why? Because they are chariots of an unpersuading, uncompromising conviction that they have a mind made up that they are going to go all the way. Hallelujah! Oh, chariots of conviction. All of these things are so important. I believe that in my heart, and I'm not minimizing holiness, but I believe that I have saw an attitude in this conference. And this came to my mind very, very strong today. And I know that I'm opening up myself to be misunderstood and for a lot of misunderstanding, but bear with me for just a moment. I felt that in the Holy Ghost today in prayer, that the day is coming, that we are feeling the beginning of the effects of it today, where that we are going to begin to fulfill the Scripture that says, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of the doctrine of baptisms and repentance and all of that. I believe that the things that are sometimes the least mentioned become the least important. I am not against mentioning things over and over again. But I believe that we're nearing the day to where holiness is not going to have to be mentioned near as much as it used to. I believe that there is an attitude and a feeling, and we're beginning to get the spirit of it today, that there is going to be an overwhelming touch of God come among us and in our ranks that is going to say, holiness, well, that should be done. Holiness, it should be practiced. We're more concerned about evangelism and revival and reaching our world and being conformed to the image of Him that has called us and has given us a command. A few years ago, there was a lot of preaching about the new birth. There was a lot of preaching about basic doctrines that we hold so dear to our heart. There was preaching about conviction. There was preaching about judgment. There was preaching about hell. And the attitude was then almost one of in every conference that we came together to see how real hell could be portrayed that would pull people out of a carnal realm and to back to a place of a basic dedication. We've traveled a little further than that. We still believe in eternal punishment. We still believe that there's going to be a day of judgment. But there is not near an attitude today among our people that says that we want to live for God only because we're afraid of hell or of judgment. We don't have a concept of God today as it used to be. And as Brother Spears preached about last night, as a hard, unjust judge. But there's an attitude today that says we love Him and we praise Him and we want to magnify His name and be used of Him. Then as time began to go on, we drifted into another era of time where there was a lot of preaching about the new birth. There was a lot of preaching about the last storm that passed through, about the charismatic movement and everything that went along with that. But there seems to be more and more of an attitude. As far as I'm concerned, the Western District of the United Pentecostal Church is becoming stronger in truth and stronger in holiness and more established and more satisfied as far as these things are concerned and doing that is pleasing to the Lord. But as we begin to travel on, I feel like that there is almost an attitude that God is wanting to say, listen, church, these things ye ought to have done, but not to have left these other things undone. Yes, you know holiness is necessary. You know it's essential. But I'm calling you now to something else that you have not even heard preached on very much. I want you to conform to me. I want you to have a deeper walk. Oh, God, give us a day that will come in the near future when the pivotal, primary priority that will be preached on is intercessory prayer. 14 days of fasting, 1,000 people getting the Holy Ghost, revival beginning to break forth in areas that have never known revival before. Give us youth conventions when all night young people will lay here travailing and praying and seeking God. Give us youth conventions in the near future when our young people leave this congregation and go out to the streets, and in a single youth convention have 500 brand new young people filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Let the day come in the near future that we will not merely just be hearers of the Word and only be edified and inspired within the four walls of this congregation, but give us the literal fulfillment of a chariot of conviction that would do what thus saith the Word of the Lord. Let's lift our hands and praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But for all of these things to come, anyone that lays down some things that you have one time built that has brought your consecration to where it's at today, if you begin to build those things that has been laid down, you will make yourself a transgressor. Not only will you make yourself a transgressor, anytime you begin to back up, reevaluate, reconsider, or take another view upon convictions that you have one time held, not only will you find yourself confused, disillusioned, frustrated, not knowing exactly which direction to take, but every person without exception who has laid down some convictions that God has given them in the Spirit has lost a place of consecration that they once held. Every individual that I'm thinking of, and I want the young people to listen today, every individual that I'm thinking of at this time, without any exception, who has begun to reevaluate their walk with God, may say that they have a better understanding of God. They may tell you that they see things in a deeper way than they have been before. They may tell you that their intellectual knowledge tells them that they are more open-minded and broad-minded than that they've ever been before. But don't allow their deception to drift over on you. Every individual without exception does not have the depth of prayer that they one time had. Every individual that has ever left us and went into a charismatic circle, they thought they could build a big church. Most of them has lost everyone that they even started with. Some of those thought that they would have a deeper walk with God and influence more of their friends and community. They've lost their friends. They've lost the influence in their community. They've lost the walk that they had with God. They don't even see the need anymore of intercessory prayer. It's almost once saved, always saved. It's almost justification. Takes care of everything. Oh God, give us an insight and a revelation today in this very service that we are in, that we would see the need, that if next year's youth convention, if in a few months the revival that is going to come to our local churches, if it's going to be greater than what we are feeling now, it's only going to be built upon unwavering convictions that we have already laid down. Hallelujah! It would not surprise me at all that if the revival that is going to come to our churches, and I believe there's going to be a great revival just before the Lord comes, it would not surprise me if that revival is going to be 3 and 4 entire Trinitarian Pentecostal churches of entire congregations being baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, getting a revelation that Jesus Christ is God, and obeying the truth of the Word of God. Let me say something. A few years ago when I was in high school, before that we are seeing the move of God that we're seeing today, and by the way, we're living in a different day and time than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And I say that for the better. There's more of an interest in God. There's more of a revival attitude. There's more of a hunger for God. But let me say something. There were friends of mine that I was raised with that used to make fun of me and they were denominational people for even talking about receiving the Holy Ghost. There's some of those people that used to make fun of me for talking in tongues. There was an attitude back then that if you went to a Holy Roller church, that you were laughed at and made fun of. As time began to go on, some of those same friends now don't mind telling you that they speak in tongues. They may not have truth, but at least they don't mind telling you they speak in tongues. They don't mind talking about the Holy Ghost. They don't mind talking about prayer meetings. They don't mind talking about intercessory prayer. And let me tell you something. Here we are as a people that God has ordained to be a landmark to bring about a revival in this last hour. And some of our people are wanting to reconsider, reevaluate some of our convictions. Let me tell you something. If some of you give in on some convictions that are not just a matter of opinion or of standard, but they really are some necessary things, let me tell you something. The reason that we are having a move of God like we're having in this youth conference, and the reason we're having such a depth of the move of God, is because of unwavering, uncompromising convictions that people have held to. We're having a move of God today because God is looking down and He is pleased that there are some people that love Him more than they care about the opinion of a carnal-minded group and a world that is around us. I can say this without any hesitation. Several years ago, a young couple backslid from the church that I pastor. Did not feel like that holiness was necessary. Did not feel like they believed the message. They believed the new birth, baptism in Jesus' name and all of that, but for several years they went to a Trinitarian church. They came back and prayed back through several years later. You know what their opinion was? They said, "Brother Clark, we see it now. We feel it now. You know what? It's not just a doctrinal difference. It's not just a standard difference only. They don't have a depth of God there. There's no real worship. There's no real a burden that is there." Let me tell you, there's more to a difference to us and the denominational world instead of a doctrinal difference and a few stands on holiness. It comes down to living a life that is pleasing Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand and lift our hands and praise Him right now. Praise God. Let me say something today. If you give in on your convictions, not only are you not going to please God, and not only are you going to bring about the displeasure of God, but some of the friends in the world that you have an influence over at this time, if you let down, when God, and I believe He is, gives them a revelation of holiness, and you've compromised and give in, they are not going to then be able to come to you and ask for direction. If you give in now, they're going to go somewhere else for direction to point them in the paths that they need to go more perfectly. It wouldn't surprise me. I have been tempted lately in the town that I pastor in, because there is so much misunderstanding about holiness, I have thought about running a series of articles in the newspaper about our standards of holiness. Well, for it to be well written, for it to be well displayed in a way that would seem intelligent, but there are too many misconcepts. But I'll tell you what I found recently. I found there's a move on in the world to talk in tongues and to seek God and to have a charismatic experience, but some of them right now are not seeing baptism in Jesus' name and oneness. But I'm beginning to see Baptist churches and Methodist churches that are preaching to their people, "You do not cut your hair, you do not wear pants, you do not wear jewelry, you do not wear makeup." It would not surprise me if baptism in Jesus' name and the oneness of God is not opened up, not through the message only, but first through holiness. And then as holiness comes in, it'll point the way to the truth and the work of God. Let me tell you, Western District, we cannot compromise. We cannot give in. There is too much that is at stake at this time. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, give us convictions. Give us young people that will leave here as a burning chariot of conviction. I feel like today that there are young people all over this congregation who are exemplifying that type of life. But let me just touch on a few things that we need not to forget and we need to build upon. I thank God for young people all over this congregation who refuses to even turn on a television in the motel room where you are staying. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I believe it's the time that we get militant with our stand, with our own people. No more is it the day and time to be a silent witness or to be the third party and not say anything. It's time for you young people who are in the minority in a group to stand up and say, hey, we don't listen to gospel rock music. There's some of you boys that need to tell some of the friends that you're with, hey, listen, you're beginning to identify with a punk rock attitude. Don't comb your hair that way. Don't dress that way. Don't participate in that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I thank God for our young ladies. I thank God for some of those that will look at other of our young ladies and say, listen, hey, it's not the will of God that you wear a low-neck dress like that. You need to be more concerned about a stand and about pleasing God. I believe we've got chariots of conviction among our young ladies today. And when you get together in a motel room with some of your other friends, and when they open up an overnight case and bring out makeup, that you're bold enough to say, hey, not in this motel room. We're going to make a dedication. There's going to be a consecration made here. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love Him and praise Him.
Microphone. Microphone on the organ, please.
All right, praise God. Well, we hear a little switch-up taking place there with the organ. But hey, everyone, you heard it again. Pastor Clark preaching with that same zeal, excitement, that energy, and that anointing that he preached with back in 1984, and nothing has changed. We talked about it last Monday. Nothing has changed. Pastor Clark is still preaching with that same anointing, that same strength, that same zeal, and towards the end, you may have heard his voice. It sounded like it started, losing a little bit of his voice there. He was just preaching his heart out in that message. Praise God. He talked about a couple of things that I made notes about the great revival that's coming. Back in 1984, I wonder if the churches back then thought, when is that coming? In a year, in 5 years, 10 years? Well, we're down the line here, more than 25 years. I didn't do the math, but it's been a while. But that great revival is still on the way. Praise God. He used another term, holy rollers. When's the last time we heard that, everybody? Holy rollers. And that's what he was talking about, holy rollers. Another thing he talked about was holding on to our convictions. And he talked about the young people then holding on to their convictions. Today we have different sets of situations in the world and temptations. Back then it was television. Well, now it's the internet and all kinds of other things that are going on. But the standard, the principle is the same. We've got to continue to hold on to our convictions. Once again, we thank Pastor Clark for this message from 1984, Chariots of Conviction. Everyone, let's continue to hold on to our conviction. Let's continue to hold on to the spirit of revival that the Alcantars have left here with us. Let's continue to stay faithful in prayer, in fasting, and we look forward to see everybody on Wednesday night. God bless all of you. Have a great night. In Jesus' name, amen.